The reading is from Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, in being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Okay, let's pray for Derek as he comes up. Father, thank you for Derek. Thank you that your hand has been on him this week. And Father, we pray that as he comes and speaks, that he will know your blessing, know your refreshing, and know your strength. Father, pray that you'll open our ears, that we might hear all that you have for us. Amen.
Just spent the last couple of days viewing our great-granddaughter. And the thing that puzzled me or amazed me was how marvellous God can knit together all the various bits and pieces that go to make up a human body. As I'm not sure whether I did share with you, but when she was born, she was more or less half size, just over 4 pounds. She was 2 or 3 weeks early. But even so, her foot is that long, just about 3 or 4 inches. That is the length of her foot. And you can imagine how tiny everything else is. But everything is just so perfect. And of course, in Shirley's eyes and my eyes, she's just so wonderful. I'm sorry for our new folks that we haven't seen before. And God bless you. Nice to see you. You're coming in on the end of a series that I've taken on the life of Joseph, and we're finishing up today, and I've got about 10 points to go through, so sit back, hold fast to your seats, but I want to rush through them quickly so that we can tidy him up and put him to bed for once and for all. We got to point 13. And we both see that Joseph and Jesus, I'm likening the life of Joseph with the life of Jesus as well. And we can see that both of these characters were around the age of 30 when they began their life's ministry. And Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, says, "I had to feed you with milk and not solid food. And even now you are not ready for it." I mean, by the time we get to the age of 30, we ought to be able to take solid food from the Word of God. And not only to take it in, but also to minister it out. We ought to, by that time, we ought to be able to feed others at that stage. When we were in my younger days, by the time almost as soon as you became a Christian, you were given a Sunday school class to take. And it was jolly good training because it made you dig into the Word of God yourself so that you could feed others also. And I believe the scripture is in Timothy. It says that you may be able to teach others also. And it's good to see Frank developing his talent in ministry, and I claim him as part of my spiritual grandchildren, because it was partly through what I said at a business meeting, an elders meeting, that he became a Christian, the result of that. Just a stray conversation, and he became a Christian through it. And I think it's lovely to see him developing his ministry. 14th point, both were highly exalted. Joseph, we read in Genesis 41, Pharaoh there declares, "I now appoint you governor over all Egypt." But Jesus, of his own free will, he gave up all that he had, and he humbled himself, as we read in Philippians, even to the death of the cross. And for this reason, God raised him up to the highest place above. And Joseph had no choice about his suffering, but Jesus, of his own free will, he sacrificed his life for us. And because of that, God raised him to the highest point. And we too, although we might suffer here on earth and might suffer for the Lord's sake, yet God has promised and taken us from the lowest point, and God will take us to the highest point and raise us up one day to sit with him in heaven. And that is so thrilling. If we dedicate our lives to him, he will make sure that he lifts us up and raises us up. 15th point, both took non-Jewish wives. Now this was completely against the rule that God had laid down. Pharaoh gave Joseph a new name, Zaphnath-Paneah, and gave him a wife, Asenath. Now, who would want a wife by that name? I'm glad my wife's name's Shirley. The daughter of a priest from the city of Heliopolis. But this was contrary to the laws and the rules of the day in which God had laid down. The Israelites were specifically instructed not to intermarry with other peoples. In Exodus 34 it says, "Do not make any treaty with the people of the country where you are going." Abraham and Isaac, when Abraham got his servant to go and look for a wife for his son Isaac, he said, "Make sure that you will not, or promise me that you will not take a wife for my son from the people here in Canaan." And again in Nehemiah, the many Jewish men were marrying women of Ashdod, Ammon and Moab. But it's interesting that Jesus, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. So what does he do? Does he find a new wife from the Gentiles? But if he had taken a bride from the Jewish people, the Gentile Christians would have been jealous. And adversely, if he had taken a wife from the Gentiles, then the Jewish people would have been jealous. But what does he do? We find in